Hey mama, welcome back to Mama Matters 2 podcast. I'm so happy that you're here with me today. Today is gonna get real, it's gonna get vulnerable, it's gonna get messy, but I feel like that's just motherhood in general, so I'm not afraid of that here. We're just gonna do it. I thought about making this episode for a while since I dreamed up this podcast idea, and I kept pushing it back because it's not fun to talk about postpartum anxiety and depression, but it's why I do what I do and why I feel so passionately about helping other moms. And a big part of my postpartum anxiety and depression story stems from lack of sleep. So that's how all of what I do ties together. But I just kind of pushed this off, and the Lord kept telling me that I need to talk about it and just be bold. And so that's what we're going to do today. I am going to talk about 5 different ways that you can try to combat postpartum anxiety and depression, mostly the anxiety side of things. I'll probably speak a separate episode on depression, but just wanted to speak on specifically postpartum anxiety, what to do when you feel like you're drowning, what to do when you feel like this is just how it's going to be forever, and 5 ways that you can try to combat that and live your new normal. You might not ever feel like you did before you had kids, and that's okay. I feel like that's normal, and you're not ever going to be the same because you're a mom now, and that's amazing and beautiful, but there are really hard and raw parts of that. And so I just wanted to speak on that and bring some hope and joy into your life. And hopefully these 5 tips are beneficial to you and you can implement them to start feeling like yourself again. Hey mama, are you tired of constantly being exhausted, not knowing what the day or night will hold? Are you sick of letting your mental and physical health suffer and feeling out of control of your day-to-day life as a mom? Are you ready to feel empowered and in control of your mind and home and finally feel rested again? Hey, I'm Alexa Martinez, pediatric sleep consultant, postpartum doula, and fellow mama who has been in your shoes, and I am so glad that you're here. Think of this as a cozy conversation with your best friend on a comfy couch mixed with a coaching session. Mom life, health and wellness, sleep, faith, and how to get rid of the overwhelm are all topics we will cover here on the podcast. And trust me, we don't shy away from the real and hard stuff. I'm here to help you put systems in place so that you can finally let go of the baggage and start enjoying motherhood the way you were created to. It's time to start feeling like yourself again, friend. So go reheat your coffee, I'm sure for the 10th time today, and let's dive right in. Because mama, you matter too. All right, let's do it. I am ready to get into the messy with you. So I first want to start this off by just saying I see you and I hear you, and you are not alone. I need you to really, really hear me when I say you are not alone, because I think the hardest part for me when I was dealing with postpartum anxiety and depression, but specifically the anxiety part, it felt so isolating. And I heard other people, maybe their stories, and they weren't the same as mine. And even if I heard somebody else dealt with postpartum anxiety, it just didn't feel like it could be as bad as mine. It felt like, okay, I hear you, and I recognize that you have dealt with postpartum anxiety, but there's no way that you felt like this. There's no way that you felt this anxious and out of control of your own life and emotions. And so when I started meeting more people later on in my journey, once I had already, just in the past year or so, I've met so many moms that have come forward as I share more and more pieces of my story, just recognizing that they felt the same way. It's been validating. It's felt like maybe I didn't have to feel so isolated, and you know, you can hear other people's stories and say, okay, I hear you, but you don't know how I feel. And that's correct. I will never know how you personally feel, just like nobody can ever know exactly how I felt. But I was talking about it all day and just not feeling very heard. And so I just want you to know that I hear you and I see your experience and I'm validating it for you. And it's real and it's hard and it's scary and it feels like you're out of control, and I get it. And if you're somebody listening that has never dealt with postpartum anxiety or depression, that's amazing. And I hope that you are able to take what I talk about and maybe help somebody else in your life that deals with it one day. And even if, you know, if you're a spouse, if you're a partner, if you're a friend, just recognizing what this can look like so that you can reach out and help another person that's dealing with it is so valuable, I feel like. So I just wanted to start with that. Just knowing that you're not alone. I promise you, you're not alone. And I am always here. If you ever want to reach out to me, I love that. I love when people feel comfortable enough to reach out to me. I knew that I needed to make this episode when a sweet friend, mama-to-be, reached out to me, and she has not even had her baby yet. And she said, I'm reading all the things and I'm seeing all of the scary stories and birth traumas, and I'm seeing all of these horrific things, SIDS, I'm seeing babies dying. I'm seeing all of these horrific things happening. How do I keep my baby alive? And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, okay, I need to speak about this right now, because first of all, I'm so, so glad and honored that she reached out to me with those feelings, but also that it's not normal to feel that way. And so it's something that needs to be addressed and needs to be taken seriously. I feel like it's not. And, you know, medical professionals are just kind of like, okay, well, you know, it'll pass. They're fine. Like, it's just part of being a mom and part of giving birth, and it'll pass. And that is the case sometimes, but it's not always. So if you're with me, let's take a breath and let's get into this together. So number one, I wanted to talk about how I need you to reach out for support. So the first thing is reaching out for support. This doesn't mean just telling people in your life how you feel. It also means telling them what you need. And that was really hard for me because I didn't really know what I needed. And I had an amazing support system. I had an amazing family, an amazing spouse, but I didn't ever really ask for what I needed because I didn't know. So just recognizing and taking a second, what do I need? Do I need a minute by myself? Do I need somebody to hold my baby while I take a shower? Do I need somebody to help me with my dishes while I hold my baby and bond with him? Just getting really real with yourself, being honest with yourself first about what you need, and then reaching out for support. It is so valuable having a support system close to you. If you don't have anybody nearby in your personal life, then joining support groups. That can be online, it can be in person, but there's MOPS groups. There are just Google MOPS groups near me, and there's a ton of them. It's called, I think it actually is rebranded now to like Mom Co or something, but if you search MOPS groups, MOPS, there are a ton of those groups everywhere all over the country. So those are awesome, just to be in communication and in community with other moms going through the same thing you are. There are online support groups, just making like just get real vulnerable and put it out there. I need support. I need community. And that might look like a community of other moms. That might look like your own mom or a friend stepping in and helping another family member. Also, just communicating really openly and vividly with your partner, even if they don't know exactly how you're feeling because they're not experiencing it, they're in it with you. And if you have a supportive partner like I did, it means everything being able to open up and tell them exactly how you're feeling and being very open and real and raw about it. Also, because they can kind of watch for any warning signs for when you start, if you ever get to the point where you need professional help, they can kind of be another eye watching you and seeing, okay, now is the time to go in and see a counselor, or now is the time to call and talk about medication, you know, just another watchful eye over you, protecting you and keeping you safe and making sure that you do reach out for help when you really need it. Reaching out for support, I feel like, also means advocating for yourself. And that's a huge one, because people just aren't going to advocate for you. I mean, a spouse might, but, or, you know, a close relative or friend, but really, I mean, my doctor was wonderful, but a huge, you know, when you just gave birth, it's so wild and crazy, and everybody's just kind of worried about baby. And I remember having a C-section, they sewed me back up, they took Carson somewhere else. I don't even know where he was. He was not with me. He was getting cleaned up. He was not with me for a while, like 30 minutes. So everything is just a blur. And so they literally, it was 30 minutes after I had been, you know, sewed up, and they put me in a room with Carson, my new baby, and my husband. And then they came in, they told me to start breastfeeding. They were like pushing on my uterus and, you know, trying to get things back where they're supposed to go. It hurt. It was uncomfortable. I was in pain. I was loopy. I was in shock, I feel like. And then they handed me a form to fill out to see how I was doing mental health wise. And the questions were like, you know, answer honestly. Do you find joy in things still? Do you? And I'm like, I gave birth like 38 minutes ago. Like, this is the worst possible time that you could be giving this form to somebody. I can't even see straight. I don't know that I know my own birth date. And you are asking me to fill out a mental health form. And that was the only time I was checked in on mental health wise. I had multiple breakdowns in the hospital over feeding issues, over, I literally did not sleep for a single minute for 3 days in a row. So my body broke out in hives and I started hallucinating. And I still, I mean, literally nobody checked in on me mental health wise, as far as like hospital staff goes, nurses, doctors. So I feel like advocating for yourself and being like, I am not okay right now. And I finally did. The last day we were there, after 3 days of 0 minutes of sleep, I said, I think I'm going to die. I think my body is shutting down. I had literal hives all over my body. I'm like, I can't see. I'm losing my vision. I'm so beyond exhausted that I don't know my own name. And so I just got to the point where I had to advocate for myself, and they took Carson to the nursery for, I think, 2 hours. I couldn't go more than 3 hours without feeding him. So they took him back for about 2 hours, and I got 2 hours of sleep. They gave me some kind of medication to help me sleep. And I mean, you know, 2 hours of sleep is not enough, obviously, but that 2 hours, the hives were able to settle down a little bit, and I was able to think a little bit more clearly. And I mean, that was not the end of my journey. I mean, I for sure had more ups and downs from there, but that just kind of, I had to be really honest with them and get clear and tell them what I needed and just say, literally, I need somebody to take this baby off my boob and I need to sleep for an hour or two. And that was just enough to help me feel like I was not literally dying. So the second thing that I need you to do is set realistic expectations. And this is way easier said than done, of course, but adjusting to motherhood is huge. And it's not this picture perfect. Here's your baby. You have this immediate bond. Everything's peachy. Everything's amazing. This is a love you've never felt in your life. And some of those things are true. And some of them are not for some people. I did not feel an immediate bond. I now have an incredible bond with my son and I love him more than I love anything in the whole world. But it took me some time to get there and I was expecting this immediate flood of emotions and love and I did not feel that. And so my expectations were crushed and I felt like I was a terrible mom. I felt like I was never going to bond with him. And that just wasn't true. So I feel like if I had known beforehand that it's possible to give birth to a human and not feel that immediate bond, I wouldn't have been so disappointed in myself, in the experience. I wouldn't have felt so robbed or like I was lacking from that experience. And it just would have been a little bit easier to deal with, I feel like. Just remembering that every experience is different and you just gave birth to a whole human. Even, you know, if you're adopting, it's still a huge adjustment. Even if you aren't going through that, you know, physical hormonal release, everything, it's still a huge adjustment. Just here's your baby and you're expected to immediately bond. So I feel like no matter how you become a parent, it's, you know, it can take some time to bond and just having that expectation is so helpful and just kind of helps to bring you back to reality. And if you do bond right away, great, amazing. I love that for you. Nothing would make me happier. But if you don't, it's okay. And just knowing that you're not crazy. Okay, the third one is, and you know, I have to talk about sleep somewhere in here. The third one is trying to get some sleep, even if that means your partner takes over for the night, you hire a night nanny. I know that's definitely not possible for most families. If it is, I highly suggest it. We weren't able to do that, but it would, I feel like, be a total game changer. If you have family in the area that can take your baby for a night, it's just, you know, if, of course it's not ideal, but if you are really struggling and you haven't slept and your mental health is starting to become worrisome, then just having somebody to help a little bit in that area and get you some sleep can be life-changing. So I would start with just asking your partner to try to take every other shift, or what Ryan and I did eventually when he was a little bit older. He was about 4 months when we started doing this. We would switch off every other night, and I wasn't breastfeeding or pumping anymore at that point. So I know this isn't feasible for every mom, but even if you switch off every other night and you just have to wake up to pump once or twice, that's still a huge break. And so what I mean by that is, instead of switching off every other feed, we did do that at the beginning. We would switch off every other feed and I felt like I was never getting any sleep because I could hear him getting up with Carson for the other feed and I was either getting up to pump or, you know, when I was just breastfeeding at the beginning and not even pumping, I would have Ryan bring me the baby and I would breastfeed him and then Ryan would try to put him back down so that I could try to go right back to sleep. But I never did. I never went right back to sleep. I was up. I was trying to help him. We also had a colicky baby. So, but if you do have a baby that goes right back down pretty easily, then having somebody like your spouse or partner to just bring you baby, feed them really fast, and then have your spouse change the diaper, swaddle them back up, put them back down, that can be, you know, save you 10 or 15 minutes of extra sleep. If you are formula feeding or pumping, just, you know, switching off every other feed and having them take a bottle can be really helpful. I found that I was getting deeper sleep when we switched off every other night. Because even when we were switching off every other feed, I never got into a deep sleep. So when we started switching off every other night, and again, this was later on, but he was about three, almost 4 months when we started doing this. And that was a huge game changer. He wasn't quite ready to be sleep trained yet. And he was colicky and up a lot in the middle of the night. So just having one night where I could count on getting a full night's sleep, and, you know, if one of us needed the other, then we were right there. But I would literally take and Carson was in his own room at this point, so I would literally just take melatonin, and so that I could try to sleep through it. I would still hear them get up. You could also move into a guest bedroom if that's an option. We stayed in our own room, and, you know, one parent took one night and the other took the other. And it was easier for me to sleep when I knew that he was being taken care of all night and I wasn't going to have to get up in another hour or two. So just trying to get some sleep. I do have my newborn course that is very extensive. It is 40 pages. It goes over everything you need to know for safe newborn sleep, to get longer stretches of sleep, and to set those good sleep habits. So I do have that. I'll leave it in the show notes below. I'm leaving a 20% off code for my podcast listeners. The code is literally just 20 off, and I will put that in the description as well. But with that code, it comes out to $29, and I feel like, I mean, I poured so much time and resources into that guide. I feel like I could easily charge way more, but I want it to get into the hands of everybody and into the hands of as many moms as possible. It also talks about mental health and hormone shifts and stuff like that, and what you can do to take care of yourself in those early days. So I really want you to have it. If you're really struggling and you just can't afford it, but you really need some help, please send me a message and I can work something out with you. I'd be happy to give you a higher discount if it's something that you need and you're struggling. Please don't let finances be what stops you from getting a good night's rest. So reach out to me. I would love to take care of you and work with you in some way. The fourth tip is prioritizing self-care and mindfulness. So I don't mean, you know, when you're a new mom, you don't have a ton of time. So I'm not saying to go right back into your normal self-care routine. That can feel overwhelming more than it can feel helpful. What I mean by that is giving your mind some space. So if that is practicing deep breathing, if that is just taking a minute and grounding yourself, if it's yoga, if it's just, you know, like I said, deep breathing exercises, if it's taking a super short walk, if it is, you know, a guided meditation, something like that. I felt like the most helpful thing for me that felt like self-care was leaning into my faith. So I would, especially in the middle of the night, I was up reading my Bible and, you know, the room was dark. So I was literally just reading on my phone. And I remember searching in the middle of the night, verses for comfort, verses for Bible verses for strength, Bible verses to let me know I'm not alone. And I found so much comfort in that. And I would just read those verses over and over again. And I would copy and paste them into my notes section so that I could find them easy again. And that was a huge game changer for me. So just prioritizing ways that you can take care of your mind, and that, you know, all the other things I've talked about goes into play with that, but doing separate things like taking a beat and being by yourself and calming down, taking a bath, taking a shower where you can just, I took a lot of showers where I would just cry. And I know that sounds sad, but like it felt like that was what I needed. Like I needed a release. I needed just a minute by myself. And this was like, you know, the first 2 weeks after giving birth, and you're just going through so many changes. You're bleeding, TMI, but it's just like it's you're leaking everywhere. Like if you're a mom, you know. And I needed to be in the shower for 30 minutes by myself and cry. And so that was so helpful for me. And I, you know, definitely most of the time did not have 30 minutes to do that. Usually it was like 5 minutes, but every once in a while, if Ryan was home, and Ryan is your spouse or your parent is perfectly capable of holding your baby for 30 minutes while you take a shower or rest. Please don't feel like you need to have your baby on you at all times. That's just not true. And it will not hurt your bonding. It will not hurt your connection. I feel like it can only help when you take that time to separate a little bit. It can only help your bond and strengthen it when you feel like your mind is clear and you can think again and you've had a cry or you've had some time to meditate or, you know, do some guided breathing. It just taking some time to recenter yourself is a huge game changer. The fifth thing I want to talk about is seeking professional help. I got to the point where I needed to, and not everybody will. Some people, it's just, you know, they have a few weeks of some anxiety and they're able to walk through these first four steps, and that kind of calms that down. The first four steps will help people in when they have, you know, minor anxiety and minor depression, but not everybody, and that's okay. I needed professional help. I needed medication. I needed counseling, and that's okay. So just knowing when you need to ask somebody for some help. I went to my OBGYN and she prescribed me a medication, and I ended up needing to switch a few times because I was having side effects and they just weren't helping. And I ended up getting on a different prescription when I saw a psychiatrist. So I feel like just jumping to that and just seeing a psychiatrist, they're the ones that, you know, your OB is amazing and they can help and prescribe you something, but usually it's just something generic and it's not something that, you know, they're not trained in the mental health space, and that's okay. That's not their job. And so seeing a psychiatrist really was a game changer in getting the correct medication, the correct dosing, and then also seeing a therapist were things that really helped me. So just knowing that those things are there for you. And I know a lot of places have free counseling, like especially if it's like a counselor in training that needs hours and they need to be shadowed or they just need some practice. A lot of times they're free or discounted. So just typing that in your Google search bar, you know, discounted or free therapy near me. There's a ton of resources out there. You know, not all resources are free, but if you can't afford it, there are free resources out there. I know that for sure. So some churches also offer that. So just Googling it is super helpful based on what area you're in. And then, you know, just monitoring your progress yourself and just kind of like either journaling or using an app on your phone or your notes section in your phone, just kind of trying to see if things are helping or if they're not, if you need to be seen again, and just kind of monitoring it that way is really key to make sure that you're actually getting better and not just, you know, I know some people say medication is like putting a Band-Aid on things. I don't necessarily think that's true, but you do want to monitor and make sure that you're actually getting better and not just numb to life. And that was one of the reasons why I needed to get on a different medication, is I had to find one where I still felt like myself and also the anxiety was lessened. So see a psychiatrist, see a therapist, get professional help if you need it. Those resources are there.
I, of course, am a pediatric sleep consultant, and I always want to
tell you to practice safe sleep. Of course, that is my number one priority, is making sure that you are practicing safe sleep, that baby is safe while they sleep. But I do want to clarify, and just especially for moms that are feeling the way that that mom was at the beginning of this podcast that just reached out to me and said, how do I keep my baby alive? Please don't feel that way. It's not, I don't want to say, babe, you know, babies are resilient. I don't want to say that nothing bad will happen, because I cannot guarantee that, but it's just kind of letting go and taking a step back and saying, I am doing everything in my power to keep my baby safe, and that's all that I can do. I cannot do anything more than that. I've done my research. I know what to do. I have placed my baby alone in their crib or bassinet on their back. They're swaddled. They are safe. That is all that I can do. I cannot do anything more in this moment except for rest myself. So just, if I could go back in time and tell myself that in the middle of the night when I was not sleeping and just waiting for Carson to wake up and thinking, was he breathing? Was he, you know, if he went longer than an hour or two, I was up panicked thinking that he wasn't breathing. I was always anticipating his next wake up, and it was either, you know, 15 minutes apart, or if he would actually sleep an hour or two at a time, then I was up panicked. So just going, if I could go back in time and tell myself, you've done everything that you possibly can, your baby is safe alone in his bassinet, nothing is going to happen, you've done everything you possibly can to ensure that he is safe, there is nothing more for you to do in this moment. And staying up and worrying and panicking and having these anxious thoughts is helping nobody, especially you, especially your baby. So just, if I can give you one final piece of advice, it's just to rest. It is to let go of the noise and unfollow social media accounts that, or get off of social media completely if it's just consuming your thoughts of all these bad things that can happen and you're having all of these intrusive, serious, terrible thoughts. Get off of social media, get off of Google, get off of your phone. It's not helpful for anybody. I hope that this was helpful for you. I hope that this brought you some hope. I hope that this brought you some blessing to your life, that you are able to take this and practice it. And whether you are soon to be mom or a new mom or a seasoned mom, I hope that you gathered something from this and you're able to find some rest and peace. I would be honored to help you if you are in the thick of it and you're not sleeping and you're anxious all the time. I do offer one-on-one sleep consulting packages where I get your baby sleeping and I get you sleeping again. And I would love to work with you. So please feel free to reach out to me. I will leave a link in the show notes for my direct booking for a 15-minute call where I can tell you how I can help you and your family get sleeping again, ease the anxious thoughts, and just help you feel better all around. I love you, my friend. I am here for you always. I see you. I hear you. Your thoughts are valid. Your feelings are valid. Things will get better. You were created to be this baby's mama, and I am here for you. You're not alone. Please remember that always. Hey, sister. If this episode brought some value to your life, encouraged you, or made your day better in some way, please share this with another mama friend who could use some encouragement and let her know she is seen and loved. I would love for you to join me in my free Facebook group where I bring value like this every single day and get to answer your questions personally. You can find the link down below in show notes. I pray your day brings you peace and rest, and I can't wait for our next chat. Talk to you soon, sweet friend.